Good morning. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is your gardening show. We do appreciate you listening. We hope you are having a great week. We have had a wonderful week. We got some rain, which was very, very, very needed. And we're going to have a beautiful garden week coming up. So it is going to be Chamber of Commerce weather. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
Good morning. We really need to get videotape in here so they can see what's going on. I'm literally running around in here trying to get my headphones plugged in.
Well, you're all set there.
Yes, but definitely beautiful gardening weather. I'm so excited for this the weather today. So
it is. It's going to be beautiful. It is also National Gardening Day on April 14th,
ooh,
which is very exciting. It's gardening day every day, you know, when you come to Florida. And so, but we're going to be talking a little bit about National Gardening Day and the benefits of gardening. And then also, April is Water Conservation Month. So I have Nikki Monroe coming in from the University of Florida, Indian River County Extension Office. She is the Florida Friendly Landscaping Agent there and the Master Gardener Coordinator. And then we also, in our second hour, have Cheryl Harris coming in. She's the Executive Director of the Florida Irrigation Society, and I'm very, very, very honored to have her on today. So,
ooh, I love that.
It's going to be a great show. We're going to be taking your gardening questions. Hopefully you have the phone number in your phone. That's 1-888-555.
Nope.
I'm sorry.
1-888.
Thank you.
1-888-455-2967.
I'm not awake this morning. I haven't had my delicious cup of tea here yet.
Right.
So, I'm sorry, 2967. 455-2967. And then you can text us 23680. And we will be taking your gardening questions later on in the program. Weather-wise, just a beautiful week. It was cool this morning out there. Some in the high 50s, low 60s throughout Central Florida. And This week, North Florida, you are going to have sunny or partly sunny all week long. No chance of rain. Highs in the 70s to mid-80s. One day possible at the end of the week for 90. But lows in the 60s. Gainesville, you're going to be a bit warmer, mid-80s, and a few days of 90. But lows in the 50s and 60s. So great sleeping weather. After you've worked all day in the garden, you'll be able to rest really well. Central Florida, Popco, Cala, Orlando, Tampa. You are going to have, again, just a sunny week. No chance of rain this week, but the temperatures are going to be really lovely. Sunny to partly sunny, 70s and 80s, lows in the 60s. And South Florida, just a beautiful sunshine state weather. Just a great day or a great week for the beach. Temps in the low 80s and 70s and 70s at night. So the weather is going to be perfect.
Nice.
The April newsletter is out. If you did not receive it, you can email me, betterlawns.com. You can text us and let me know your email address. I will input you. I just need a name and a zip code. And or you can go to my website, which is www.she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com. Or you can just Google Teresa Watkins and I come up with gardening, and I'm everywhere.
Facts.
So,
yep.
You can get the next newsletter, and I will send you April's newsletter too as well. You can also see what to do in your garden on betterlawns.com, and it will take you to what to do in your landscape. And then also, too, we want to make sure that you are getting through. Again, 1-888-455-2967. Put it into your phone. So what to do this month in your landscape. It's a beautiful week. Beautiful week. You could be planting great vegetables this time of the year. Calabasa, cantaloupes and cassavas, chayotes and cherry and Everglades tomato, cucumber and dasheen, eggplant, Jerusalem artichoke, yakamas and lima beans, Malabar and Korean spinach, malanga, New Zealand spinach. These are all spinaches that can take the warm weather because we usually need to plant spinaches in the fall. Okra and pepper and roselle, Seminole pumpkins and snap beans, squash and southern peas, sweet potatoes, tamarillos, and yard-long beans. So these are all great vegetables that you could be planting. The highs are usually low 80s, and the lows are in the 60s. Rainfall, we've already received all the rainfall that we're supposed to get in April already this month.
Look at us overachievers.
I know. So we're only supposed to get averaging, this is our dry time of the year, 2.5 inches of rain. And we saw that in one day here in some of the counties throughout Florida. So it is a great, great opportunity. It's a National Gardening Month, too, as well. It's a wonderful time to work that green thumb. You can plant a small garden, adopt a houseplant, add a piece of art to your garden.
I love that.
Yes, adding art to the garden works very, very, very well. And so it just personalizes it. And it can be a little bit of signage, you know, welcome to Patty's, you know, paradise.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Who's Patty?
Patty, I know. Patty in the garden. And so, you know, I just love this month. This is just a great month. We're going to be back. Nikki Monroe is up with us, and she is going to be talking about Florida-friendly landscaping. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. And this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Nikki Monroe is the Environmental Hort Agent and Master Gardener Volunteer Coordinator with the University of Florida IFAS Extension Office in Indian River County. She specializes in Florida-friendly landscaping, a subject that is close to my heart, and she helps residents create beautiful, sustainable landscapes that protect Florida's water resources. Through her work, she connects the community with research-based practices, very important, that make gardening easier, more efficient, and environmentally responsible. Good morning, Nikki. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens.
Good morning, Teresa. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. So just to catch up with Indian River, did you get a lot of rain this last week? What kind of impact did it make with the drought?
Yes, we've had an unusually high amount of rainfall over the past week here in Indian River County. Some areas saw several inches, including a couple of days that even broke local rainfall records. It hasn't been enough to, like, fully take us out of our drought conditions, but it's a good start.
It is. We'll take what we can get, right?
Yes. And, you know, the plants and our soil are just like, yes, thank you, please.
I can appreciate that, too. So the University of Florida, IFAS Florida-Friendly Landscaping Program, offers valuable resources for sustainable gardening. And so what are the 9 principles? Refresh everyone.
The 9 Florida-friendly principles are right plant, right place. That's my favorite. And if you get that one right, you're a winner all the way through. Water efficiently, fertilize appropriately, mulch, attract wildlife, manage yard pests responsibly, recycle yard waste, reduce stormwater runoff, and protect the waterfront. These are just going to make your decision processes for managing your landscape so much easier.
That is so true. Those are great principles. So the second principle of Florida-friendly landscaping is efficient watering. What does this mean?
Watering efficiently means giving the plants the water they need to be established, and then encouraging them to develop deep, strong root systems so that they can really support themselves without a lot of help from you. So instead of frequent shallow watering, you're going to water deeply and less often over time. And that also helps your plants to be more resilient. That way you can go on vacations when you need to and you don't have to be like, oh, what is my landscape going to look like if my irrigation system crapped out? It's going to be great.
Exactly. Oh, that's such a good idea. and less stress. That's important. So Florida has designated April as Water Conservation Month. And so why did we select April?
You know, it's going to seem counterintuitive, I know, because it is the, you know, our dry season starts in the fall, and by April, we're usually at the peak of our dry period. So soil moisture is low, the temperatures are rising, and plants are under the most stress. We're already being water conscious. We just need to transfer that water consciousness into not emergency watering, but to say how we can manage our water more intentionally. So we're going to check our irrigation systems. We're going to adjust the seasonal watering restrictions and to make sure that we're not overwatering. You know, our plants are just coming awake again. They don't really need to be guzzling a lot of water right now. So that's why April is important for water conservation. It's right before the summer rain returns, and we need to really, really double down on efficient watering practices.
I think everyone has a bad feeling or they have a bad image of water restrictions. You know, the twice a week during the summertime and once a week during the fall and winter. But it's really only what the plants need anyway. It's not really a restriction that they're enforcing. It's all the plants need, right?
Absolutely, because our dry season also coincides with when most of our landscape plants in Florida go, if they're not fully asleep, if they're not fully dormant, they're dozing, right? So they're not using a lot of water right now anyway.
So how much water does a landscape, and I'm going to emphasize an established landscape. We're not talking about new turf or new landscapes that have been installed. How much water do landscapes really need, Nikki?
For established landscapes, most shrubs and trees should need little or no supplemental irrigation once they are established. Bedding plants and turf grass, they tend to need more, like about one each weekly, but the delivery for both of those are different, right? So turf grass receives their irrigation through overhead watering, and bedding plants often benefit more from micro irrigation or drip irrigation lines. But as long as you're giving them just about half an inch to three quarters of an inch of water during those twice a week irrigations in the summertime, you're going to be fine.
That is so true. And I mean, really, you know, honestly, and in reality, most people give their lawns and landscapes, you know, 2 to 3 inches, if not more, a week. And that doesn't help them, does it?
It does not. Watering deeply but less often really helps to make those root systems search for water. It stresses them out and it makes them stronger. And that is going to help your plants to actually be more beautiful, more efficient, and you get to sit on your back deck and enjoy yourself a little bit more with your landscape than to be out there saying, oh no, what happened over here?
Exactly. That is so true. And so the drought that we've had this last 2 years, homeowners have really, they don't realize that they haven't gotten the water that they need, or the new homeowners, I should say, new residents to Florida. So how does a homeowner know if they've gotten enough rain so that they don't have to turn their irrigation system on?
So this is a twofold problem, at least, right? Most homeowners don't know that they've had enough rain because they try to look at how their landscape looks. And most of the things that we have in our landscapes are either fairly drought tolerant or they just don't look as awful as they should appear. And then we also have the compounding of that issue with most landscapes have irrigation systems. Mm-hmm. So that's looking at your landscape and saying, yeah, I'm sure I've gotten enough rain, is not a reliable indicator. But if you put a rain gauge out into an open part of your landscape that you pass by frequently, right? Not like the back corner near the pool box or whatever, but somewhere in the front yard that you have to walk past when you're going to your car, then you'll be able to see, you'll be able to track rainfall and know whether you're getting enough.
That's true. Now, what about if you have an automatic irrigation system? How can we determine if those are working correctly?
This past week would have let you know, right? We've gotten more than enough rain in most parts of Florida. And if your irrigation system still went off, it needs to be checked. It definitely has, there's something wrong. Because your landscape should have received as much water as it should have needed for 2 weeks.
Wonderful. Okay, that again, I try and look and see, you know, sometimes after a rainfall, you see irrigation systems going on. And it could mean that they haven't had enough water to shut the system down. Or it could mean that it's just not set properly. So that's something to be concerned about. What are the symptoms, Nikki, of overwatering?
Common signs of overwatering include increased thatch, which is just when you mow the lawn, the little pieces that fall down back into the turf. So there's increased thatch and turf grass. Weeds like dollarweed are starting to take over. So dollarweed is what we normally call it, but its name is pennywort. And almost anything that has that W-O-R-T ending is telling you there's too much water. And even plants wilting because they've become too dependent on you to give them too much water. Those are indications of overwatering. And I'm not talking about, like what you said, I'm not talking about a new plant needing your care. I'm talking about plants that are old and they should be independent by now.
So a landscape needs to be established. I would say probably about 6 months for shrubs and about a year to 2 years for trees and larger shrubs.
Absolutely, yes. If you're establishing them for proper health and proper vigor, this is a real going concern that you need to be engaged in to make sure that you're giving them all of the coddling at the beginning so that they're relaxed and they feel free to expand their roots, and then afterwards you gently wean them off of the extra water. But now they're nice and strong because you took a lot of time to manage them carefully.
That's great. That's a wonderful answer. So how can homeowners encourage their landscapes to be needing less water?
You're going to start by gradually weaning your landscape off of the frequent watering, right? This is going to be easier to do now that we're heading into the summer rainy season so that nature can do most of the work for you. If rain is expected within a day or two, it is okay to let your plants suffer a little bit, not a lot. And that's going to actually encourage them to stretch out their roots and become more self-sufficient. And then over time, watering less often but more deeply will become your new normal for your landscape. And you will find that your plants are going to be more resilient, and you are also going to see less pests, less weed and disease issues that you don't even have to address with chemical processes or extra work on your part. I'm not fond of going outside to pick bugs off of plants.
No, I'm not either. So great information, Nikki. How can our listeners find out more about taking care of their landscape? We're coming up on a hard break.
Any search engine, just type in FFL for home landscapes.
Excellent. So what is that again?
FFL for home landscapes.
FFL for home landscapes. Just put that in and it will, all the websites and resources will pop up. And if they want to contact your extension office, how do they do that?
They can contact us on Facebook, IRC Master Gardeners.
Thank you so much, Nikki. You've been so great to have on this morning. I can hear your passion for your gardening in your voice, and I really appreciate you coming on this morning.
Thank you for having me.
All right. That's Nikki Monroe with the Indian River County. She specializes in Florida-friendly landscaping, and she is with the University of Florida. So great office down there in Indian River, and they really know their stuff.
I love the fact that she, about the sprinklers, like legit, like if your sprinklers went off this last week, there's something wrong.
That is so true. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to the second half of Better Lawns and Gardens. We would love your phone calls, gardening questions we can take and answer. There is no silly questions. Somebody else is interested in what you're asking. I'm sure of it. You can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And so we did have a question from Patricia. And Patricia says her Bermuda grass is turning brown in patches and dying. She has about an acre of lawn and no irrigation other than what nature provides. And the lawn used to be lush, but it's slowly getting more and more brown patches and dying. Could it be fungus? And if so, what should I do? The lawn has been established for at least 20 years. And so good morning, Patricia. Thank you so much for your question. I don't know where you're living, but it's fungus is caused by water. And so that your grass is not irrigating or is not irrigated, that just means that that's probably not the issue. One, the severe drought that Florida's gone through over the last 2 years is probably a major factor. And then two, the severe winter we went through in late December, January, and February has caused the Bermuda grass to go dormant. Bermuda grass goes dormant when the temperatures go below 55 degrees. So I think that it's going to recover fine, and it'll look much, much better in June and July and August once our rainy season starts and the warmer temperatures cause it to grow back. And then if you mow it, the brown will probably come off and the new green grass, the new grass will be there. So it'll look lusher. So what I would do is I would wait until the next rainy period, and then after the rainfall, go ahead and fertilize your grass with a 15-0-15 if you've not already done so. And it should return back to normal. So let us know how your grass does, Patty. That's Patricia. That is a wonderful question. And I know that more and more people have still are facing trauma and stress with not getting their plants are not coming back. John in Lakeland, good morning. How can I help you?
Yes, ma'am. I would like to know, my guavas, I'm only about a mile from Peterson. Uh-huh. My guavas survived the freeze.
Excellent.
But they were burned, and they're coming back. I've got them trimmed back already. Mm-hmm. What fertilizer should I add to them to help them come on back up?
Okay, so you can just use a regular 1-1-1 analysis, so you can use a 666, 888, 10-10-10 fertilizer, because you want it to not only grow the root system, enhance the root system, but also to grow leaves and to grow flowers and fruit. So just a balanced fertilizer will be just fine. And then you want to do that on a regular basis, so like every 3 months or so.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. And yes, thank you. Have a great weekend, John. I appreciate it. Let's go to Polly in Oviedo. Good morning, Polly. How can I help you?
Good morning. Thank you. So I need to put in some grass plugs. I've got St. Augustine, and it went real kind of crummy with the freeze.
Yes.
And it's come back a lot, but I have some pretty big little patches where it just looks like super dry St. Augustine roots.
Mm-hmm.
I have some weeds kind of all over, so I did put down with a hose and sprayer some atrazine 2 weeks ago. It'll be this Sunday.
Okay.
I know that takes a while, so I don't know if that's going to factor in. I think it takes a while, so I haven't seen a whole lot of results. However, I'm going to, instead of doing the sod, because it's going to be too much to prep the grass, can you maybe give me like a couple quick tips on, how to prep those areas and then what to put in the plug and what to put on the plug? I've been given so many
advice.
So
okay, so yeah. The areas where you have sprayed atrazine is going to start to decline, and so I would probably wait probably 2.5 to 3 weeks before you replug it or put new sod down to give the atrazine time to work and then to dissipate. And so,
do you mean from when I sprayed it?
Yes.
To 2 weeks, because it'll be 2 weeks tomorrow. So two more weeks?
I would just wait another week.
Okay.
Okay, so just wait another week. We got warm temperatures coming, so you can do it. And then you just kind of scrape the grass so you can get good contact between the roots that you're putting in, whether it's plugs or sod. and make sure that the roots contact with the soil, and then water it in. You don't necessarily want to overwater right now. Once a day or twice a day for the first week is all you need. And then you can go to every 2 days the second week, and then every 3 days the third week on those new areas. And by the end of the month, or 4 weeks later, your plants will be able to just go to twice a week watering with no issue. Okay, if you water every day, it's going to create that short root system, and the roots aren't going to grow.
Okay, so every other day, and then every third day, and then, okay.
This is how I remember it, Polly. Once a day for the first week. Once every 2 days, the second week. Once every 3 days, the third week. And by the fourth week, you're on a schedule of twice a week watering.
Okay, gotcha. Anything to go in the holes before I put them in?
You don't necessarily need to do that. You can put down a rooting hormone. You can put down a grass enhancer, a fertilizer enhancer. You can use that. And then also, I would wait till after you mow it 3 times before you put fertilizer down on it.
Okay, so I was told put fungicide and bug blaster and fertilizer. Don't do that.
Well, you can, but I wouldn't necessarily do the bug blaster. And then you can put down what was the other two ones that you said?
They told me to put down, well, this was just my local nursery, and they just said,
fungicide.
Put down fungicide, bug blaster, and then the iron fertilizer.
Yeah, no, don't do that. You don't necessarily need to do the fertilizer right now, okay? Because it's already, what the plugs that you have and the grass and the sod that you have are coming from the nursery. They have already been fertilized from the growers, and you want to wait and then put it on. You have until the beginning of June to put fertilizer down on it. And so I would wait until you start to see new growth. After you've mowed it 3 times, then you can put the fertilizer down. Okay. But also the fungicide, if we were going to be going into the rainy season, I would say yes. So you don't need to put it down now because we're going to be dry. Even if we get rain a couple of times, it's not going to be to cause fungus. I would put the fungicide down in the end of May, mid-May to end of May, before our rainy season starts, if you get a fungus issue. Do you normally get a fungus in your grass?
Sometimes we do, and I notice it's the yellow, I mean, fungus looks like yellow. We are, between my neighbor and my, there's a little bit of a, I don't want to say a gully, but we've been getting a lot of mushrooms.
Yes.
So that's when I thought, ooh, water.
How often are you watering?
My irrigation is turned off because we've had so much rain.
Okay, so you have a wet area there. So if that's the case and you get rain, you can put the fungicide down when you put the plugs in. If you're apt to get fungus, that would be. But also, too, if you're using too much water, you'll get the fungus. Great question, Polly. Thank you so much. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
My top five this week is my top five flowers that thrive with rainfall or once a week watering. And I'm talking only about established plants. Number five, African irises. Zones 8 to 11, full sun, blooms spring through fall, gets to be 3 feet high by about 3 feet wide, very salt tolerant. Number four, black-eyed Susans, zones 3 to 9. They're perennial here in Florida, and they reseed. Full sun, blooms summer to early fall. It gets to be 1 to 2 feet tall and 1 to 2 feet wide. Very salt tolerant. Number three are periwinkles or vincas, Cantharanthus rosea. Zones 9 to 11. Zone 8 as an annual. Full sun. High salt tolerance, 2 feet by 2 feet. And what's interesting about it is that periwinkles have chemical compounds called alkaloids that are used in treatment for Hodgkin's lymphoma. and also leukemias, different types of leukemias. So that's a nice thought. It's not edible. Number two, the lantana, zones 9 to 11. Perennial, full sun, blooms year-round. Heights and spread is 2 to 6 feet tall and wide, highly salt tolerant. And my number one plant that I love, my number one flower, that is very, very drought tolerant, only needs rainfall, whirling butterflies. Garlanda heimeri, zones 5 to 9. Full sun, blooms spring through fall, 1 to 2 feet tall, plus 1 to 2 feet wide. It is moderately salt tolerant. So those are my five favorite flowers. I will post them on our Facebook page later today. I like that. Let me just talk to Polly real quick. And so I just want to make sure that if she's in a low-lying area where she has poor drainage and she gets a lot of soil or watering, that ponds, go ahead and use the fungicide when you are putting down your turf. If you're in a dry, high area that's sandy and you don't get that, you have good drainage, not necessary to put the fungicide down now, but you could put it down right before the rain starts in the beginning of June, rainy season, and at the end of May, you can put down the fungicide. So also, I would recommend, Polly, that you get the Agritech, the University of Florida soil test kit, to determine how much fertilizer and what kind of fertilizer you need to put on your turf. The kits are very inexpensive. They're $35. You can get them online, Agritech soil kit for the University of Florida. And you can also find them at your extension office. You can mail it in and it will come back to you within a week to 10 days. And it will tell you exactly what you need to fertilize. Let's go to Carol in Lakeland. Good morning, Carol. How can I help you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Hey, so we've got this like 30-foot avocado tree that's, you know, still all brown. It's got sprouts in many of the areas, but are we supposed to cut off the ends of them or something, the tips?
Don't necessarily need to. I would just scrape the cambium layer, the outer bark area, to see what is green. And if it is not green or moist, sometimes it can still look brown and still be moist and it's still alive. I think it's still too early to be cutting down trees that have been frozen. Your avocado, do you know what variety it was?
That's a Florida avocado, the big one.
Yeah, the big one. Okay, so it may be, you know, winter hardy. It may not be. But I would just wait. I would cut off the suckers at the bottom of the tree and let's see if it comes back from the top. I don't want you to cut the tree down. If you do, get an arborist to check it out.
When are these brown leaves going to fall off?
I don't know. I would hope soon. I still got a beautiful.
I hope so too.
I have a beautiful mango on our street that is still brown and not one leaf has dropped. And so I'm hoping it survives. It's about 30 feet tall too. So it's just going to be a wait and see. You might want to contact an arborist to check it out and look at it, because that's kind of a big tree to cut, you know, just by yourself. So I would wait a couple more weeks, check back with me, but you can check it, just scrape the cambium, see if the highest branch that you can reach is still green underneath. Okay.
We moved our bottle brush and it is in shock.
Okay.
So we're hoping it's coming back.
Well, keep watering it. So water it every day. Soak that root ball. The water will help it to, you know, reduce the stress. Thank you, Carol. Let's go to John in Lakeland. Good morning, John. How can I help you?
Yes, ma'am. I have a hybrid elderberry, which in Florida, elderberries grow wild, and we harvest them to make wine and pies.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds delicious. Yeah.
But this one is a hybrid. It has a larger head of berries. The berries are bigger and they're sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
What can I fertilize that with, or do I need the fertilizer?
Well, everything that has flowers and fruit needs to be fertilized, okay? So because it needs extra energy to produce a good harvest. So you're going to want to fertilize on a consistent basis. I would just use a regular balanced fertilizer, 666, 888, 10-10-10, according to the label. And depending on the size, how tall is your elderberry?
Knee high.
Oh, I'm not going to worry about it. So just go ahead and follow the label, and you're probably going to want to put about a cup, not close to the tree, but a little bit further away so they can go into the root system and develop a good root system.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. A hybrid elderberry. I'm going to look that up.
Right?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I love the big berries. Oh, my goodness. That would be lovely. So that's great. So I do want to say National Gardening Day is on Tuesday, and you do want to, gardening can take the place of exercising. 30 minutes of gardening can burn as many calories as badminton or yoga. And so the Mayo Clinic, according to them, light gardening burns 175 to 300 calories per hour for the average person. Moderate gardening, which is what you do, Lizzie, digging and weeding, mm-hmm. burns 300 to 400 calories
Ooh.
Per hour. And heavy gardening, which is tilling and heavy lifting and planting and moving plants and shrubs, burns 400 to 500 calories. And vigorous gardening tasks like cutting down trees.
Me.
Yes, cutting down trees can use up 500 to 600 calories per hour. So it is wonderful. Gardening connects us with nature and moving around outdoors, getting sunlight and working with plants and wildlife can boost your brain health, ease anxiety, and contribute to lasting well-being. I call it weeding the worries of the world away.
Yes.
And it's all good for you. So, Eric, I want to thank Eric for the painted buntings photograph.
That's
gorgeous. I'm going to post that on Facebook so everybody can see the painted buntings before they go home. I want one in my yard so bad.
Well, you know, we don't always get what we want, do we now? No.
I do. I want one in my yard
They're
so bad.
They're gorgeous, though. Believe it or not, I've only seen one, maybe two in the last couple of years where we are in Sereno. So he is very lucky.
He had, what, three or four?
I look like a half a dozen.
Half a dozen. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to show everybody. So I will be posting that. And I do thank everyone for calling in. And I want to thank Nikki Monroe from Indian River County. She is the Florida Friendly Landscaping Agent, Environmental Horticultural Agent for Indian River. She was very good about what we should be doing about an efficient irrigation system. It's the number two principle on Florida Friendly Landscaping. And so if you missed it, you can go back. And where can they hear it,
Lizzie? At betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com. Also, who do we have coming up next, Teresa?
We have Cheryl Harris, who is the executive director for the Florida Irrigation Society. I'm very excited to have her on. And she is going to be talking about irrigation and the future of legislation in Florida for irrigation. So she's
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, it's going to be very important. So I'm pleased to have her on, and we're just going to take more gardening phone calls.
Yes,
it is National Gardening Month, National Gardening Day on Tuesday, mm-hmm. April 14th, and it is also Water Conservation Month. This is the month that you can, like Nikki says, wean your turf and your plants off of high irrigation. This is the month to do it when we're getting rainfall and it's still cool. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you miss any of this show or any other shows that you'd like to go back and catch or recap, go to betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com. You can also find us on social medias. Look up Better Lawns and Gardens. You can look up Teresa Watkins, or you can look up Lizzie Said What.